So this today, as we study the Word of God, we are talking about the fact that God has this, that God's got this. We're going through a difficult time, and we're studying a text of Scripture from the prophet Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 31. And as we go through this difficult time, we know that there are a lot of things that we depend on. We depend on our health. We depend on our wealth. We depend on having control over things. And this difficulty that we're going through has really, what I would say, knocked all those props out. They are things that can literally become idols in our life. Things that we're trusting in, things that we're worshiping, things that are more important to us than God. And so, even though this is a time that none of us would ever ask for, as we go through it, there are things that God's going to do in us. And I believe that one of the things that's going to happen is that we're going to not be trusting in the same things that we've always trusted in. Exodus 20 verse 3 says that we're to have no other gods before the true and the living God. We want to trust Him and trust Him alone. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9, he said, yes, we had this sentence of death in ourselves, and listen to this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. And I believe that this crisis that we're going through is going to help us learn not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God again. And so we're certainly drawing near to God, as James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And I want to remind you that God wants to be close to you and intimate with you. And this is a time for you to draw near to Him. One of my concerns is that as we go through this, that we not get more arrogant, trusting in how smart we are and how strong we are and what we can do to care for getting rid of this virus. We need to turn to God and ask Him to do what only He can do. So last week, as we studied the prophet Isaiah in that chapter 40, I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles. If you have a Bible there at home or wherever you're listening to this, maybe in your office, and turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll be looking at that in a few moments. So last week we studied some scripture that talked about the fact that the very nature of God is that God is a God of all comfort, a God that wants to comfort His children. In fact, in Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, the prophet is told to comfort God's people. And he says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. God wants us to be comforted. And so you might be in a place where you're upset and fearful, and we're all struggling. We all have questions, and we're having doubts and fears. This is something we've never faced before. And our faith is being challenged, and we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as we talked about last week. But God is a God of comfort. He wants us to be comforted. And His comfort is brought by Him personally to us. Last week, we looked at 2 Corinthians. I'd like you to turn there for a moment. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, Paul blesses God as a God of comfort. He says, as like an act of worship, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God by nature is a God of comfort that wants to bring us comfort. And I want to note some words. In verse 4, he says, speaking of God who comforts us, and then I want you to look at this next word, in all our tribulation. He doesn't always take us out of our tribulation immediately, but He is a God that comforts us while we're going through tribulation. He's an omnipresent God. He is with us, and he's with his children in a powerful, intimate way. And he comforts us in our tribulation. And then he goes on to say that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God, by nature, is a God of comfort. Now, that comfort is something we're supposed to experience personally and powerfully. Be in the presence of God. Spend time with him during these difficult days. Allow him to comfort you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the particular person of the Godhead, which is called the Comforter, the Paracleto, the one that comes alongside of us. Literally, Jesus said in the Gospel of John 14:16 that he was going to leave us with another helper, another comforter. Just like Jesus helped his disciples, he walked with them, he talked with them, he comforted them, he prayed with them, he encouraged them, he challenged them. The Holy Spirit comes and comforts us, helps us, and ministers to us. So don't be afraid to tell God how you feel. Share your heart, pour out your heart to him. He's listening to you, and he wants to bring you comfort and me comfort. Now, the Bible says that not only are we given comfort, but we're also supposed to comfort others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says this: therefore, comfort each other. Comfort each other and edify, build one another up, just as you're also doing. We have hundreds and hundreds of people that minister to one another. This is a time we should be on the phone, texting, talking, and encouraging one another. Even though there's a lot of things we can't do in our large gathering, our large fellowship, we can still connect with one another. Technology helps us do that. Comfort each other. Encourage each other. Let's make sure and be there for each other during these difficult times. Now, verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, and listen to this, comfort the faint-hearted. So the Bible instructs us that God is a God of comfort, and that as we receive comfort, we are to comfort one another. So let's look at our outline that we're covering in this sermon series on the fact that God has this. God's got this. And our outline talks about the fact, as we look at the verses, that God has a plan in verses 1 and 2, that there's preparation for welcoming the Lord and receiving his ministry. We're going to tonight talk about having a good biblical perspective, having God's word about the difficulties that we're going through. And then the importance of proclamation, something that we can do during this difficult time is we can share about the help that God has given us and talk about how God's made a difference in our life, and it's called proclamation. The personhood, as we get into that part, Lord willing, next week, as we talk about the personhood, we're going to be talking about who God is. The God that created everything is over all things. And we know that faith is an objective faith, and the object of our faith is God. So as you build up your understanding of God and his greatness, it'll build your faith. So as we go to the personhood, and then lastly, God's given some great promises to his children. I encourage you to read the whole chapter this week. Meditate on it. Pray over it. And then apply it to your life. Let the word of God impact you powerfully. Well, first of all, verses 1 and 2. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 1 and 2. The Lord is a God that works in difficult situations. The Bible talks a lot about the fact that, you know, I read from the prophet Nahum this week, where it says, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Isn't that a great verse? That's Nahum 1, verse 3. The Lord has his way. We're in a whirlwind right now. We're in a storm right now. And we can look to God and know that God is working. He is a God that is a powerful God that is working. Well, God has a plan. And these first two verses, let's read them. Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, yes, comfort my people. So the prophet was supposed to bring word from God, words from God to comfort his people. They needed to hear truth. They needed to know what was God's view of what they were going through. They had gone through many years of difficulty, and he was supposed to bring a comforting message, and the comforting message was God's in control. God's got this. God is greater than all that they were going through. So he says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says the Lord, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquities is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So this is a prophetic message of comfort. It's not present tense. They were still going through difficulty. They were in the midst of difficulty, and they had many years of difficulty ahead of them. But he said, God has a plan here, and he's going to work in the difficulty they're going through. That they had brought judgment upon themselves, but God was going to work, and this difficulty wouldn't be forever. There was a time when it would end. He says, you know, speak to her, cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that there's going to be a time when this is going to be concluded. Remember, there's a season, a time period. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season. So one of the great things about difficulties is no, they won't last forever. This difficulty is going to pass. When it has, it has work that God is going to do in it, things that God's going to do in it, and when his work has been accomplished, he's going to bring healing to this, and he's going to bring an end to this difficulty we're going through. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season. Everything has a period of time. Seasons come and seasons go. This won't last forever. We need to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Turn to him. But this won't last forever. And man, I'm glad for that this won't last forever. And then it goes on to say, for everything, there is a time for every purpose under heaven. And then in verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 3, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. God has something that he is doing in everything. There's a reason that all things are even allowed, and God has a work to do in them. We, that often quoted verse in Romans 8:28, where it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean all things are good, but God has something good to bring out of everything. We need to be seeking to draw all the good, all the growth, and bring all the glory we can to God through this difficulty that we're going through. We know that difficulties produce growth. Last week I referred to Romans chapter 5, and verse 3, it says this, Romans 5:3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. How could you possibly glory in tribulation? Because of what it produces. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It brings about growth. So a faith-filled response, we don't know why this is happening. We don't know how long we're going to be in this difficulty, but we know that it's going to produce spiritual growth. It's going to produce perseverance, staying power. The faith-filled response will make a difference in what this produces in our life. Well, the second of our points is, as we look at the outline, is that this Isaiah chapter 40 is that we need to do what's called preparation. Preparation is what we do to prepare to receive what God has to teach us. It's the welcome we give to the king. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness," listen to this, "prepare the way of the Lord." I want you to think about this for a moment. How prepared are you to welcome the Lord into your life? You see, when you're going through a difficulty, you need the Lord. And we, you know, usually people turn to him and welcome him into their life. This text talks about the welcome that a king would receive. And when they were going to welcome a king, they would do everything to remove all the rubble, to reduce the mountain, and raise up the valley to make it for a smooth road for the king. Well, this is talking about you in your head and your heart preparing yourself for the welcome of the Lord. We need the Lord as never before, but what's between you and him? What's keeping the Lord from having welcome in your life and in my life and in the life of our church? And so here it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, lifted up. Every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth. What's he talking about? He's talking about, what a king would receive when he was coming into a city. Well, what our king, what the Lord should have in welcoming him into our life, us preparing ourselves for what God has to say to us in this difficulty. That verse of scripture in Psalms 139, verse 23, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And listen to this, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Our preparation for welcoming the Lord into our lives. Of course, this has a prophetic word that spoke about John the Baptist that would be the forerunner of Jesus. But there was a word that was for Israel at this time and place also. And I think there's a word for us. Prepare yourself in this difficult time. What is it that you need to remove out of your life that's causing the Lord not to have a welcome and not have effective ministry, the effective ministry that he'd like to have in your life? Amos 4 verse 12 says this. It says, "Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you." Listen to this. I love this line. "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Isn't that great? Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. That we would be prepared to meet our God, ready to welcome him into our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 73, 28, he said, "It is good for me to draw near to God." Isn't it that good for us in this difficult time? It's good for us to draw near to God. The psalmist goes on to say, "I have put my trust in the Lord." Right now, we may not build a trust in our health. We may not build a trust in our wealth. We may not build a trust in our intelligence or our brilliance, but we can trust in the Lord. He says, "I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all your works." So I think one of the ways of preparing for the Lord is drawing near to him and determined to be close to him and remove everything between you and him. Be ready to listen. That's another way to prepare. Be ready to listen. In each of, when Jesus speaks to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, every time he speaks to the church, each church, this is what Jesus said. He said, listen, hear what the Spirit says to the church. I think we need to draw near to the Lord and be ready to listen, because he's going to speak to us. Do you think it's possible that God has something to say to us in this time of difficulty, that maybe we're ready to listen as never before? And, you know, I believe the words of Jesus are good for us tonight or today. You know, let us hear what the Spirit wants to say to the church. What's he saying to us? Be ready. This could be a work of revival in our world today, where a turning back to God by his church and then the world seeing God work in powerful ways as never before. The third thing, first of all, draw near to God. Secondly, be ready to listen. Thirdly, preparation, I think, comes as you have the soil of your heart ready to receive the word. I'm looking at Matthew chapter 13. If you have a Bible, turn there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Jesus speaks a parable about the receiving of the word. And here it says he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, listen to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now remember, the seed here is the word of God. So some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Verse 5, some fell on stony places where it did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them out. But verse 8, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Your welcome of the Lord, drawing close to him, making sure that you're listening to what he's saying and ready to receive the word of the Lord as never before. Be as the good ground that is ready to receive the word, that it'll produce much in your life. Remember when the forerunner for Jesus came, and I won't dig into the text tonight, but Matthew 11, 7 through 19 speaks about when Jesus, John came as a forerunner of Jesus. They didn't receive John's word. They didn't welcome John's word and what he had to say about who Jesus was. And they really weren't ready to receive. They weren't prepared to receive the word that God had for them. So let's go to our third point in our outline as we look at our outline for a moment tonight. And we want to get perspective. We're in a difficult time, and it's easy to lose perspective, to get focused. As we read scripture earlier, Karen read for us a text of scripture of Jesus calming the sea. We know that if you focus on the waves, you're going to be full of fear, but if you focus on the Lord, you're going to be full of faith, and he's going to bring comfort to you. And so one of the things the prophet did in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, was that he wanted them to get perspective, to see that man was just mere men and they weren't creator God. And so let's read those verses for a moment. The voice said, Isaiah 40, verse 6, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? And this is what the Lord said to cry. All flesh is grass, and all of its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass, and the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So what we want is not man's perspective, but we want God's perspective. So in our outline, as we talk about the fact that God had a plan to bring comfort and that he wanted them to be prepared to receive the word that the Lord had to bring. And one of the things they needed to do is get perspective. It's easy to get overwhelmed with the problem or the person and not have a clear view of the Lord. And here they needed to see who God was. God was the one that had made all things, and he was greater than all the people. See, Israel was going to be brought into captivity. There were going to be earthly rulers that were very powerful, that would cause them to be fearful and afraid. But it was comforting to know that they were just mere men. God was greater, and they needed to get that perspective. God was bigger. God was more powerful. He was creator. They were just creatures. God is greater than all of our problems and all of our difficulties. The scriptures here say that, you know, men are like the flowers of the field. They come and they go, but God is eternal. God is all powerful. And so they needed to get perspective. Now, our fourth of our point is proclamation. And we're going to spend just a couple minutes and we'll wrap up our teaching for this week. But here is the proclamation. This is our opportunity to proclaim the power and the greatness of God. As we meet with God, as he ministers to us, as we're encouraged by him. And let me just say that we need to spend time in prayer, time in Bible study, time in worship, time alone with the Lord that we're ministered to in these difficult times. Because if we're stumbling and fumbling, we're not going to have much to share with others about who God is. Here, the proclamation, verses 9 through 11. Let's read the word of God. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the mountains, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. I love the text. It's proclamation. It's what are we saying to others? If we haven't been encouraged, we can't encourage others. If we haven't met with the Lord, then we can't share what the Lord has taught us with others. Here it says, go up into the mountains where others can hear you. Proclaim the good tidings of the Lord. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Verse 10, behold, the Lord your God will come with a strong hand. What a good word for us today. We want to say to people, behold your God. Look to God. Remember what the psalmist said? I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Your help comes from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord your God shall come with a strong hand, a mighty hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. Look what he has to offer. What a good word. What a great proclamation. His work shall go before him. Verse 11, listen to this. Strong, mighty God that now comes as a shepherd with his sheep. He will feed his flock like a sheep. He will gather his lambs in his arms. How we need this gentle shepherd to minister to us, a strong God that can rule over all, greater than all other powers or all other forces, that's like a shepherd that cares for his lambs with gentleness. He'll carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. The Lord wants to wrap us up in his arms, care for us, and take care of us this week. What a wonderful proclamation, something that we have to share with others. A strong, mighty God that will care for us like a shepherd cares for his flock. So this week, I want to end with just a a word of prayer, an encouragement, which comes from Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And this is my prayer for you, and this God, and I kind of want to read it because it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That's my prayer for you this week, that God will fill you with hope. As God spoke hundreds of years ago, even thousands of years ago, to those of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, He speaks to us today. He wants to bring us comfort. Let's close with prayer. Lord, may You, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that You may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray Your blessing of Your word to Your people this week. We're thankful that You're holding us, that You hold all things together, that You are the God of all comfort. I pray Your blessing on Your people, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.